words of spirit and life. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The teachings of Jesus are food for our souls. Over the past several weeks, we've been looking at this passage of Scripture and these events that have all come together around Jesus as the bread of life and held him up in his teachings as the word that we need to live on and live by, our spiritual nutrition. We had a passage where Jesus was trying to do miracles, and it said that he marveled at everybody's unbelief, just the lack of faith that people had. Does that sound familiar? So he was marveling at the lack of faith that people had, their unbelief. And where a lot of people even today like to denigrate people who have a lack of faith or put them down even further and even push them further away from the faith, Jesus' response was to teach them how to have faith. And so he went around to all their places where they were, and he taught them. And then the next event that we saw was that Jesus looked out across the crowds of people and found that they were like sheep without a shepherd. And there again, a lot of times people's response to that, even today, who feel like they're more spiritual than everybody else, is to put people down because they don't go to church, or because they don't have a religious affiliation, or because they don't know about Christ, and to, again, to put them down or to push them even further from the faith. But that wasn't what Jesus did, was it? Or what he asked his disciples us to do. Instead, it says, and so he taught them. And that brought into them this miracle, because as he was teaching them, there was thousands of people there around coming, and they had come to hear Jesus teach them and to learn from him about faith and about heaven and all the wonderful things that he was teaching us. Well, then they got hungry, and he did this miracle of the miracle of the loaves with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread that he multiplied, and thousands of people shared that, and they had a lot left over. Then he went from there around to the other side of the lake, the Sea of Galilee, and only he took a shortcut there. His disciples took the boat. All the people went around by the road, and Jesus walked across on the water. And so that was kind of neat. And as they entered the next day on the other side, then we began hearing several passages over the last several weeks with different parts of this dissertation, where Jesus is talking about the manna from heaven, how he is the bread of life, and eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and we've been looking at all the different implications of that for us today. And then after that, he went into Capernaum, into the synagogue there, and he was teaching. That's where we are today. And so all that kind of fits together, doesn't it? Because then as Jesus was talking then about this manna that comes down from heaven, then and that he was that bread of life, then a lot of people, they didn't like what they were hearing. And so they left, and they didn't want to follow him anymore. That's when Jesus said, "Will you also leave me?" to some of his disciples that were there. And they said what? Remember what they said in here? "Where would we go? You have the words of eternal life." So where would we go? Where would we go if we wanted to have the words of eternal life? Then we would need to follow Jesus and hear his words. And next week's message, we go back to Mark again. And the little segue there is a little bit about the kind of food that we're eating and the claims that people have about what is actually the Word of God compared to just the words and teachings of people twisted to be like the Word of God. There are two different things, aren't they? So one is good food for our soul, and the other one is like eating poison, because it would be bad for our soul, because it's not the true Word of God. God provided manna for the children of Israel as they traveled through the desert. And God provides manna for our souls as we travel through the events of our lives to sustain us. And that manna is God's Word. In our tradition, we have it through, going back through the Methodist and the Anglican tradition and the Catholic tradition of morning and evening prayers and the Liturgy of the Hours, where we take these devotional times as meals every day. It was an accident that I put in the bulletin today that we had a potluck meal, which we don't have. Last week we did have that potluck meal, and when we had eaten, even though there was a lot of extra food and there was plenty left over, still, by the next day, I was ready to have another meal, weren't you? In fact, by that evening, I was ready for another meal. So when we eat food, we don't want to just eat a whole bunch today and then that's it. We didn't hear some today and then we don't ever need anymore. We need some a little bit every day and several times a day. We need to spread that out so that we have the nourishment that we need as we go along. And that's how it is with our prayer life. That's why we bring up the upper room and other inspirational devotional materials that we're all familiar with, that they're available from all quarters of the body of Christ, and different denominations have different materials that they furnish and that we share amongst each other, using each other a lot of times in order to get all the nourishment that we can along life's way, hearing the Word. In fact, there's even one that's even called Our Daily Bread. And we pray in our Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." And that refers both to our physical and our spiritual need for food to sustain us. And the Bible is speaking today of Jesus being that bread, that manna that we need every day. And His words, as He says, they are the words of life. This same Gospel of John starts out with a very familiar passage. Usually we read it around Christmas time and sometimes other times. So a lot of times we have a different context in mind when we hear these words. I'd like to read this from John chapter 1 this morning with this in mind, the context of Jesus talking about manna from above and us thinking, where else would we go but to the Lord for this manna, for this food that nourishes our souls. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, that lighteneth every man which cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word incarnate is more than a Christmas story, isn't it? It's what we live on that sustains us day by day. The eternal Logos, the Word made flesh. The sword of the Spirit, as Matt read about today in the lesson from Ephesians. Put on the whole armor of God and take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The teachings of Jesus are our manna. They're our daily bread. We need that daily bread to live on, to form us, to give us the nutrition that we need to shape our lives, to shape our thinking, to shape our actions. The teachings of Jesus, the Word of God, is the expression of God's thoughts and feelings. Just like when we speak, our words of our about our thoughts and our feelings. They express something of that. Sometimes just like they are, or sometimes maybe a little satirically, or however that we might express ourselves, but somehow through our words we convey our thoughts and our feelings about any subject. That's what prophecy is. It's speaking forth the mind and counsel of God. And the apostle urged us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That mind in us is formed by God's Word. As we take that into us and live on it and eat it and feast on that in our hearts. And Jesus himself is the full expression of the Word, the Logos, the idea and vision of God that he has for all of humanity and for all of his creation. But most importantly to each of us, his vision that he has for you, for your life today and this week and for eternity. So let me just throw in, you know, that I think it is wonderful that God has a plan for the salvation of the world and for the redemption of all of his creation, and that he has a plan for all the people of the world. I'm mostly grateful that he has a plan for me. That he has a vision for my life, that I'm included in whosoever will. And I hope you are this morning too. Glad that God includes you personally and has a word for you in all of this. Our spirit is our non-physical life. That's that part of us that continues whenever that we lay aside this earthly tabernacle, or whether we have it or whether we don't, or regardless of what condition it's in, or what's going on around us and in our body. It's that the part of us that we really love the most about each other, isn't it? The part that loves us. The part of you that loves me is the part that I can't see. It's expressed oftentimes in the part that I can see, but it's the part that we can see about each other that really ties us together. And the Word of God is Spirit, Jesus was saying. It's just like that. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Word of God is the Pentecostal promise being fulfilled in your life and mine today, in the life of God's people. There was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. If that's all there was, then that would be just something for us interesting to read about in history. But the outpouring of God's Spirit into our lives is daily. That God wants daily to pour out His Spirit on all flesh, so that the people will dream dreams and see visions. And the daily an outpouring of the gifts of the Spirit, so that when those gifts are in operation among the people of God, every day, not just occasionally, or not just way back when, or someday in the future, but each day, that we're a ministry to one another and to the people around us with these wonderful gifts of the Spirit. That's daily Spirit bread. And the fruits of the Spirit to be born in us. Not sometimes. Not just when we get so down and upset and distant from everything that we just have to have a little bite of the fruit. So hungry that we can't stand it anymore. But every day on a sustaining basis, that we're not letting our body be starved of this nutrient, but that these fruits of the Spirit are part of our daily diet. Love and joy and peace. Don't you want them every day? Don't you? You don't want them just like sometimes when things get so bad you can't stand it, so then you want peace. Let's have peace every day. Let's have love every day and faith and these other gifts. There are daily bread. And daily God's Spirit beareth witness to our spirit that we are the children of God. Which brings us then to think finally of life in the spiritual realm. Because Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. We are heirs of the divine nature, heirs of the eternal life, joint heirs with Christ. And that we are partakers of the divine nature is a phrase that one of the apostles used, that Apostle Paul used, and it comes up in the ancient liturgies of the church down through the ages. It's included in ours, in our communion liturgy, one of our, so we have several, but in one of them, it's got that, one of the oldest ones, and it says that we are partakers of the divine nature through him who on the night he gave himself up for us, took bread, broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, after the supper, he took the cup, again he returned thanks, gave the cup to his disciples and said, take this, all of you, and drink it. This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for all, so that sins can be forgiven. Do this as often as you will in remembrance of me. Think about what it means to be a partaker of the divine nature of God with Christ. Joint heirs of eternal life with Christ. It's our life. It's a life that we begin and enter in by faith today and in this life and grow in that spirit today, every day. Of that we begin in a real, very real sense to pass over into the spiritual realm little by little. So we've got like, we're kind of like that angel with one foot in the land and one in the sea that said that time shall be no more. We're like that. Because we have one foot in heaven and one foot in earth. And we're making that transition from the earthly life to the spiritual life, from the worldly to the spiritual, from the flesh to the spirit. That's our life that we're talking about. Your life, mine, and that of our family and friends. We're passing into that life of heaven that Jesus is transforming us into whenever that our love imitates the love of Christ. Whenever that we are tasting and experiencing that joy unspeakable and full of glory, then that's the daily life that is sustained by the Word of God. And when we have within us today peace that passeth understanding, that's the life of the Spirit, the eternal life, taking over our spirit and our life. So here's the invitation today, an invitation from Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. In the name of Jesus.